which comes from the 10th chapter of Mark, beginning with the 35th verse. James and John, Zebedee's sons, came up to Jesus and said, "Teacher, we have something that we want you to do for us." "And what is that?" "I'll see what I can do." And they said, "Arrange it so that we will be awarded the highest places of honor in your glory, one of us at your right and the other at the left." And Jesus said, "You have no idea what you're asking. Are you capable of drinking the cup that I drink, of being baptized in the baptism that I am about to be plunged into?" And they said, "Sure, why not?" God, does that sound like us? "Yeah, sure, why not? We can do this." Jesus said, "Come to think of it, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized in my baptism. But as to awarding places of honor, that is not my business. There are other arrangements for that." Now, when the other 10 disciples heard this conversation, they lost their tempers with James and John, and Jesus got them together to settle things down. "You've observed how godless rulers throw their weight around, and when people get a little power, how quickly it goes to their heads. It's not going to be that way with you. Whoever wants to be great must become a servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. That is what the Son of Humanity has done. He has come to serve, not be served, and then give away his life in exchange for the many who are being held hostage." Okay. When I realized that this is the text for this morning, I realized that when we hear this text, and when you go to standard churches, you hear this text all the time. And there's one of three ways that it gets preached. If it gets preached as part of stewardship, they're digging into your wallet. Amen? Okay? If the other way that it gets preached is when they're looking for volunteers for some kind of committee. Amen? And they want you to know that they have the most thankless job for you to do. Amen? You know, matter of fact, let's have a little fun. What do you think is the most thankless job in any church?
The person who cleans it.
Okay.
I would say being the pastor.
Okay, that's a possibility, I suppose.
I'd say being the fundraiser.
Okay. Anybody else?
Church custodian.
Okay.
Oh, the child care.
Oh, the child care people. Okay,
oh,
yeah. Yeah. You would think that people would really be thanking them for taking the kid. Now, the most thankless job in the church is the one who serves the needs of the church. Mm. And that doesn't have a title. See, we have gotten so caught up in the idea that we need to be recognized for the work that we do. How many people have quit working or quit doing stuff because they don't appreciate what I do? Amen? How many people have gotten angry at the church because you've worked your butt off on some committee and didn't get proper recognition? Amen? How many churches have you been a part of that all of a sudden at the end of the year they've had to come up with Recognition Sunday? Amen? I remember when I was a kid going to Sunday school, if you got perfect attendance, they made a big damn deal out of that at some church service and handed you a little pin. Amen?
No, we got a piece of paper at our church.
Well, amen. See, you were cheaper than us. We got a pin. And did you catch the flavor of that? I mean, we even compare the kind of recognition that we get. And yet I know that when you all listen to this morning, that most of us at first blush when we hear this sit there and go, "Well, you know, that James and John, they were just, yeah, wasn't that arrogant on their part? How dare they?" Look, if none of us can get to the right hand or the left hand of Jesus. And I mean, come on. I mean, we're being honest, right? Nobody here thinks that they have the ability, the wherewithal, or the understanding of their relationship with God that they could demand of Jesus, oh, by the way, put me here or there. But what I want to point out to you, though, is there's so many other things that we do that we inadvertently do this. And that's one of the reasons that Gentle Spirit Christian Church is different. Let me give you a homegrown example of what happens. We have had folks, as you know, if you come to this church for any length of time, you know that because we're a church without walls, it's pretty easy to just kind of walk in, walk out. Amen? It's pretty easy to be here a couple of Sundays in a row, and then we might not see you for a year. Amen? That happens often, and it happens, it's okay. That's what we mean by being open. Well, a few weeks ago, we had Hygiene Kit Sunday. And you remember, for those of you who were here, it was kind of an ugly Sunday. It was rainy. It was cold. The volunteers got there late. And on top of that, when we got here and we started to unload things, the city, doing their job in a timely manner, came and as we started to set up, nailed a notice here that the pavilion was reserved. They're supposed to put that up the day before, but they did it as we got here. So now we've got all this hygiene kit stuff, and we got to find a place for it, and so we can set it up. And on top of that, it's raining. All right. So I am not going to name names, and I don't want you all to figure it out, or even try to figure it out. But we had all kinds of folks there that day. People that have been with the church for a while and not been there and hadn't been back in a while. We've had other people from the community that come and help out. Do you know that after that was over, word gets to me that there were people there that were unhappy because they had participated and had donated all this stuff to the hygiene kit day, and the church didn't thank them.
Wow.
Really? Really? And I had to kind of come back into myself because, as I'm sure Lance has told you, I have no filter. You know? And my immediate response to that was, well, tell them not to come again. I mean, amen. I mean, that's not the way we do business. But if you don't think that this passage applies, it does. How many of us quit doing good works because we don't think we're getting enough attention? How many of us are willing to make promises and commitments to one another, but when we run into the least little problem, we stop? I had somebody come to me from the staff over at First Christian Church, and they have a person that's going to their church that no matter what they do, this person just doesn't, how shall we say this, fall into line. Okay? And then their ultimate thing was, and Pastor, what really bothers me about this is when they come to church on Sunday, they are simply looking for us to give them some money, and they don't even take communion. Wow. How ungrateful is that? When I asked the person what it was that bothered them about that, the first words that come out of their mouth is, Pastor, you don't understand how much I have done for them. How much? folks, we do what we do because of our relationship with God and because God loves us unconditionally. It is not about recognition. It is not about pay. It is not about what you put into the offering plate. It is not even whether you bring food or not. It's never, ever been about that. So when I read this, I sat there and I thought, well, you know, does this church really need to hear it? Yeah, we need the reminder. Because we still hear occasionally when we get into staff meetings or we've had congregational meetings, this conversation has come up, and I quote, well, you know, we've got people that come and they just take. They never contribute to the church. We ought to do something about that. Okay? Here's what I'm going to tell you as the pastor of the church. You ready? We'll keep inviting them to church.
Yo,
amen.
Take the words right out of my mouth.
Because if we're going to be separate from all those places that you've been, where those people find a way to judge you and what you're about and what your shortcomings are, then by God, we better not be judging who comes to this church. We better not be measuring whether they're a good member or not by whether they cook or not or how much they put in the offering plate or how close they are to the pastor. Now, we've had it happen, folks. We've had it happen. We had a musical instrument that was donated to this church. And yeah, I'm going to say this because I know they watch. And all of a sudden, they quit coming. I got too political when we didn't give them enough recognition and thanks for donating that musical instrument. This happens when you go to work. Think about why you do what you do. When you give somebody a hug, are you giving them a hug and bringing them into your life because they're actually important to you, or are you just trying to show off? I know I've had lots of people tell me, well, you know, that's the Christian thing to do. Like hell, it's the Christian thing to do. It is the God thing to do. You do it because you are loved unconditionally. And God help us all if God holds us accountable for what we're doing when nobody else is looking. So, yeah, the disciples got all worked up. By the way, answered prayer. Brandon's here.
He gets the saying.
You know, the disciples, you know, they thought they were cool. Let us not in this church ever think that we're so cool that we forget about those people that are in need and need to be just accepted right where they're at. A well-dressed European woman was on safari in Africa. The group stopped briefly at a hospital for lepers. The heat was intense, the flies were really bad, and she noticed a nurse bending down in the dirt tending to the pus-filled sores of a leper. With disdain, the woman remarked, "Why, I wouldn't do that for all the money in the world." And the nurse quietly looked at her and said, "Neither would I." God bless you.